Okay, welcome back to True Threats Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got David Livingston on as our guest. So, yeah, do you remember what point we got cut off at?
Yeah. What's interesting at this, if we continue to follow these bloodlines, again, they divided, but they divided, this would be beginning all the way back to this initial intermarriage between the four families. They divide into two directions. What's interesting is that they remain distinct for about 700 years until they finally reunite, and they reunite in the person of St. Arnulf of, I think he's Bishop of Metz, and he's the grandfather of Pippin, who's the grandfather of Charlemagne. And so, of course, Charlemagne is the great kind of inceptor of the of European history, right? The brings about the birth of the Holy Roman Empire. But what's been popularized in occult circles are recently, of course, by books by Dan Brown, like The Da Vinci Code, but before him by the Holy Blood, Holy Grail, is this longstanding idea that that the Merovingians are descended from Jesus. But this is a pretty convoluted story, but it's connected to Charlemagne because supposedly there is a rabbi, an exilarch. And exilarchs were the rulers, the hereditary, they were the rulers of the Jewish populations at this time, mostly under the Persian Empire and then the Islamic empires, who were kind of considered the heads of the exiles or the heads of the Jewish communities within those empires. And they were have been certified as being a verifiable descendants of King David. And but apparently there's a schism, and one of these exilarchs is banished or leaves and goes to the West. This is also mentioned in Kabbalistic history. And the understanding is that he went to southern France. And in southern France, he's then known as Natronai or as Emery, or his son becomes Guillaume de Cologne. And what happens now is that there's a significant intermarriage between the family of Charlemagne and that of Guillaume de Cologne. And this is what's referred to in a number of Kabbalistic books, which say that there was an intermarriage, or they didn't say intermarriage, but they say interrelations between the family of Natronai or Rabbi Mahir and the family of Charlemagne. And why this is important is that this basically this creates the bloodlines. This it begins a history of intermarriage, which is persistent and consistent throughout the centuries, and produces all the aristocracy of today. And we can get into that because the core group would be the Order of the Garter, which they all belong to, and they're all cousins. And there's a reason for that, and it's a history that goes all the way back to particularly this period, but again, mostly to the time of the Crusades, because it's all the descendants of these families who become the leading families of the Crusades. And
so you actually can directly trace that?
Yes, you can.
Wow.
It becomes easier at this point because, you know, it's more well documented.
Mm-hmm.
And so during the it's not that easy to document the their relationship to Rabbi Mahir. There's a few claims that substantiate it, but it's not absolutely verifiable as much as the continuing relationships between these families is verifiable. So why the Crusades? Why all of a sudden all of okay, time to go.
Yeah, I tell you. Short break, stick with us. Yeah. Be right back, folks. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
Okay, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got David Livingston on. We're talking about the Illuminati bloodlines and how they can actually be traced down through the centuries. Of course, the closer you get to our modern time, it gets easier. But, it can be traced pretty...
Yeah, definitely to Charlemagne. To Charlemagne is about the easiest to trace. And that's why most scholars have... European historians have suggested that there's almost nobody in, or all the aristocracy of Europe can trace their descent to Charlemagne. And that makes sense to you when you follow the history. Mm. And so as I was saying, what's incredible at this point is crusades.
By the way, are you on a cordless?
I am.
Oh, okay, because it's kind of staticky off and on.
It is, so. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's some way you can...
Sorry, it's all I got.
Oh, okay.
So why do they instigate this very strange event that all of a sudden they decide that they need to seize hold of the Holy Land? And what's interesting is that there's obviously a connection with the Kabbalah at this point as well. And you'll find that these families as well are very closely connected with an occult history, beginning with the grandfather of Eleanor of Aquitaine, who's the first troubadour. And this shows a direct link with early Kabbalistic ideas in Europe. But the reason seems to have been more than just protecting the pilgrims of the Holy Land, but actually some kind of a mission. because what happens is that some kind of discovery, the Templars make some kind of a discovery, and 1128 come back to Europe, and according to Gershom Scholem, who's the expert on the history of Kabbalah, the Kabbalah, the European Kabbalah, emerges somewhere between 1130 and 1200. And he's written an entire book called The Origin of Kabbalah to try to figure out how the heck could this have happened? Where did it come from? Because for 1,000 years before that, the Kabbalah, the ideas which were now all of a sudden expressed in the Kabbalah had all but disappeared. And the only place that you find them is going back only to the first century AD and before. So he asked, how could this secret doctrine have been kept secret somewhere or kept alive somewhere? Where was it maintained? So the occult historians have always said that the Templars discovered some kind of secret hidden beneath the temple that they excavated for. Gershom Scholem doesn't get into that. What he does propose is that maybe maybe something was acquired from the Mandaeans of Iraq, also known as the Sabians. And this is what's very important, because the basis of Scottish Rite Freemasonry is that the Templars, when they were in the Holy Land, learned their secret doctrines from the assassin or the assassins who derived, again, from the Mandaeans, or it's all kind of one of the same. They purportedly got their doctrines from the Mandaeans or the assassins, but it's kind of all the same anyway. And so, like I said, this is the basis, and this is very important, because this is the ultimate claim. What's very interesting as well is that now all of a sudden these families reconnect with families in Armenia. And they start now intermarrying with the families of Armenia. And it's this relationship which produces the leading families that ruled the Holy Land for the 200 years until it was 100. Yeah, well, the period of time until it lost, then they transferred over to Cyprus. It's a family of the House of Lusignan. And this is a family that was produced out of a relationship between these bloodlines and the ruling families of Armenia. Now, why Armenia? This is very curious. It's very curious, but in numerous instances, the royal families of Armenia claim to derive from Jewish families. And Armenia is also the place where the lost tribes were to have located. The lost tribes were believed to have located into two spots, to Armenia, and then some of them were to have moved beyond the Caucasus into southern Russia, to the basin of the Don River. And it's out of this area that you get this continuing outflux of peoples that figure in this history. First of all, let me get back to Armenia. Armenia, again, was the birthplace of Mithraism, particularly a place called Cilicia. Now, Cilicia is pretty far away from Armenia itself, but it happened to be an area that was ruled by the Armenians. And so at the very first sources on Mithraism claim that it was the pirates of Cilicia that were the first practitioners of Mithraism, and it was from them that it was transmitted to the Roman troops, who then spread it to the Roman Empire. So with what faction of the Armenians are these families during the Crusades intermarrying with? They're marrying with the ruling aristocracy of Cilicia, again. And it seems to be kind of this revival of this Mithraic tradition. And now out of the Don, out of the southern Russia, or the Don River basin, is that in ancient times there's a people called the Scythians. And so according to the Prose Eddas, which is the Scandinavian chronicles, according to numerous Irish and British chronicles, the descendants of the Scandinavians, or Odin particularly, came from southern Russia. And so he becomes the ancestor of the Saxons and the Scandinavians. Same thing as the various British chronicles claims that the British people, or several British people, came. The Picts, particularly, came supposedly from Armenia, while the, I believe it's the Britons, came from Scythia. And so this is why this idea remains at the core of British Israelism, because of this maintaining that the British people originally came from Scythia, who are in turn ancestors.
You know, I know that the the Worldwide Church of God, and then there's the Christian Identity Movement that they believe that. But as a whole, the Christian world, you think?
No, not at all. I mean, it's mostly.
Yeah, most, certain
like
groups
say,
like
these
that.
These groups,
yeah.
They have their influence. And
sure.
I believe it's certainly promoted within Freemasonry, and that's probably where they kind of aid this alignment between Christianity and Freemasonry by supporting it with this myth of, or legend of being descendants from the Lost Tribes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can have this secret allegiance to this concept without publicizing it. And so the Scythians, through the centuries, basically in the 8th century, convert to Judaism. And they are known from that point forward as the Khazars.
Yeah.
And the Khazar Empire lasts for a couple of hundred years. It's eventually destroyed. But a number of these families then infiltrate into Eastern Europe, and they produce the aristocratic families of three very important regions, which would be Poland, Bulgaria, and Hungary. And again,
the Khazars, of course, weren't quote Jewish at all.
Well, I believe that they were. I mean, for them, because the Khazars themselves claim to be, because this is the idea that's been popularized by Arthur Koestler, but I don't think that he looked at it deeply enough, because the Khazars themselves claim to be descendants of the Lost Tribes, being descendants from Simeon.
Is that the claim they made about themselves, you mean?
Yes, they did. And whatever the case may be, there had been a Jewish migration to the area over the centuries.
So they weren't Turks?
Pardon? Yeah, they were Turkic, but, you know, the Turkic people are supposedly, you know, both Edomites and descendants of Lost Tribes as well, too. We can get into this. This is,
yeah.
If you read, there's a book called Anti-Semitism and the Red Jews, or Red Jews and Anti-Semitism. This is a scholarly work that looks at the continuing legend of the Red Jews, that the Jews continue to maintain this notion of Red Jews living in Central Asia, red because they were supposedly red-headed, who were descendants of the Lost Tribes, and they believed that at some point that these Red Jews would come in, you know, at the time of the Messiah, would come forward to, you know, unite with the Jewish people to aid them in their conquest of the world. So this is why we get into the idea of red hair, because this is the key component. And genealogists or recent genetic studies have proven that the gene of red hair comes from Central Asia. And thus is why it's located primarily in Scotland, which, of course, is the supposed origin of Scottish Rite Freemasonry. And the core families, anyway, I'm jumping too fast. Why I mentioned the three families, the three nations in Eastern Europe, is that just prior to the Crusade, you all of a sudden have this intermarriage with the descendants of Charlemagne, which produce the families which then figure in Scotland, because it's a Margaret, I guess it's a Margaret, who is Malcolm III's wife, is supposedly Hungarian in origin. And this is how this Khazar bloodline gets infiltrated into Scotland. And Malcolm's son is David I of Scotland, who is the one who establishes the Templars in Scotland. And this basically brings about the birth of this entire Scottish Rite tradition.
Mm.
And again, you know, we have to link back to the Sabians in Iraq and the Assassins. And this is what begins the relationship that will eventually produce the occult tradition in the Middle East, which is now known as terrorism.
Very interesting. Okay, folks, another short break. Stick with us. We'll be right back with David Livingston.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. We made a useless attempt to try to get me on Skype during the break. Didn't quite work. I guess I'm just going to stick with the phone. Anyway, so yeah, now we're coming up to more recent times, following through with the bloodlines here.
Right. So, yeah, the person who was responsible for going to Hungary to rescue this Hungarian princess was William Sinclair, the first William Sinclair. And so this is really the how this family enters the scene. And this is a family now, which is who are the hereditary guardians of Rossendchapel, and you know are at the core of the secret of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, along with the Stuarts. So this is one of several families, numerous among them, like the Douglases and the Bruces and so on and so forth, who are all affiliated with this bloodline and this secret. And they are.
So you know, prior to Weishaupt, you know, recruiting Freemasonry toward this goal of global domination, was their goal simply to just pass on underground their sacred, pagan traditions?
Well, it's more than that. It's to succeed in making it worldwide, right? It's the Kabbalah.
So they always had this conspiracy. They just Weishaupt just came along and helped them whip it ahead.
In a sense, I'm not sure about Weishaupt and what his role was. You know, but yes, it existed for a very long time, and that's obvious when you follow what they're doing.
Right.
And it's an attempt to fulfill their...
Well, I mean, because the Kabbalah actually does mention, yeah, quote, Jewish global domination as the ultimate goal.
Absolutely. That's,
yeah,
the entire premise. The core doctrine is the belief in the advent of the Messiah, because if you remember going back to that captivity, they believe that the covenant wasn't annulled as a result of their captivity or the Roman conquest, but were all temporary tribulations, and that evidently that they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, so they believe they were still waiting for him, and so what they, in fact, this is where you get to the Kabbalah of Isaac Luria, and he articulated what's called the New Kabbalah, and this is where he developed the notion that you don't just sit around and wait for the Messiah to come, but you have to actively work for his coming. And so that's the idea, right? It's preparing the seat for the Messiah. And
for his return, or, well, not return, but his, yeah, yeah.
Seems to be what they've been doing the whole time.
Now, you know, there's so many other groups that don't have, or at least don't claim to have, don't seem to have any lineage, you know, with this cabal.
Yep.
Do you see them as minions, ignorant minions of this movement, or are they actually in cahoots with them? And
like who? Who do you mean? Do you have anybody?
Well, I mean, you've got seemingly secular groups. You got the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, as it turns out, a great many of their members are part of this. You know, they go to the Bohemian Grove, but they don't have any lineage to, you know, any that I know of, anyway.
Well, they do. The Bushes are.
Overall. Well, I know they do, but yeah. No, I'm talking like, for example, they have a lot of, the CFR has a lot of people that are just CEOs of major,
right,
corporations.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. I think the thing is that royalty is the basis of this cult, and then it goes back all the way to ancient times and the Canaanites. The entire cult of the dying god was based around the reverence accorded to the monarch. So, you know, in our time, we have this perception that royalty or monarchy is a kind of a system of rule. But originally, it was a religion. And it was a religion because the monarch was believed to be the living incarnation of the dying god. And rituals were designed to produce a dying god.
Right.
And it was all based around the belief that the dying god sustained the fertility of the crops and... So the vitality of the king was very important, and if the king started to get old and crippled, then, you know, everything, the fertility of the land was threatened. So you had to kill the king and provide a new one, a younger, more healthier one. And so this is what this is. And if you wrap this up with Kabbalistic legend, of course, this king is also descended from the pure blood, which is supposedly descended from King David. But ultimately, what the Kabbalah teaches is that the secret doctrine was passed down by the sons of God of Genesis, who descended to earth, intermarried with the daughters of Cain, and
the
Nephilim, Anakim, and so on and so forth. In the occult tradition, this is known to be have taken place on Atlantis, which was first mentioned by Plato, and to have produced the Aryan race. And this Aryan race, throughout time, supposedly maintained this secret. And so that's what it means, and this is essentially the reason for maintaining this supposed purity. What it really means, if you look at the apocryphal books of the Jews, like the Book of Enoch, the sons of God were the devil, or Lucifer, and his legions.
Right. So tell you what, we're going to go to a break. We'll pick that up when we get back. Stick with us, folks.
What it's done to me, lose the love I knew, safety.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Okay, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani, joined by David Livingston, talking about the Illuminati bloodlines. Before the commercial break, we were talking about the, you're making reference to the Book of Enoch and its mention of the sons of God.
Right. So, according to the Book of Enoch, the sons of God are Lucifer and his legions who were cast out of heaven. So, you know, it's understood esoterically that these families are basically the family of Lucifer. And this is also explains the relationship going back, you know, all the way back into ancient times of this cult being centered around the dying god, who, as I said, was identified with Venus, whose original Latin name was Lucifer, and the intent of producing a continuing bloodline or an aristocracy that would rule over these pagan societies. And this seems to have been maintained right secretly right on through to Europe. And this is where we can get to the Order of the Garter, because that's really, the core of it. Because what we were doing is we're trying to answer the idea of these people like in the CFR and stuff like that. And I think the aristocracy is made up of grades of purity, so that currently the British monarch would be regarded as the most pure receptacle of this bloodline. And there would be affiliated branches of it that would be less and less considered less and less pure. And then presumably there'd be non-aristocratic families who are distantly related who would be considered connected but not pure enough to be given any kind of status within the, you know, the underground, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And I think that would explain a lot the affiliation of a lot of these prominent families who are non-aristocratic but I very much act like they are or function as they are, right?
And again, this makes sense when you've got, you know, all the knighting that's been going on. This gives you a glimpse of what's really happening behind the scenes.
Absolutely. So what's interesting is that I talked about the House of Lusignan, which is the was produced out of a mingling of these French families with those of Armenia. And what's interesting is that they their symbol, because who is their ancestress is a sprite, a female demon known as Melusina. And Melusina now is the symbol or used as a logo by Starbucks. It's a woman who's half woman, half serpent, or half fish, or something like that. And so she's the ancestress of this Lusignan family. And so what's curious is that when you follow this bloodline, they figure prominently in the War of the Roses. And they finally succeed in installing a descendant of theirs in the person of Henry VII. And roses, we have to remember, is, like the lily, are two Kabbalistic symbols. And the Zohar, which is the great original European or medieval Kabbalistic text, begins with an exposition of the meaning of the lily and the rose, because it's referred to in the Song of Solomon, which is the ultimate sacred text, and it explains that the symbol of the lily and the rose are to refer to the Jewish congregation.
Now, is that where we get the Rosicrucian?
Absolutely. And
wow.
Rose is also affiliated, if you want to trust Dan Brown, is the meaning of red. Because red and red hair is the sign of this bloodline. It's the ultimate symbol of this bloodline. And as I said, throughout medieval times, the Jews had kept this legend about the red Jews of Central Asia. And then we have the red-haired people of Scotland. And red and rose, or rose cross, so the red cross, the cross of St. George, and the red cross of the Templars, and rose supposedly means rose line, which is how you get Ross Lynn, supposedly. And, so that's ultimately
Ross
the core Lynn
Chapel,
of,
yeah.
Right. So you have, now the Roar of the Roses.
All connected.
And finally, the ascension of Henry VII, and then this finally leads up to the Rosicrucians.
Now, the Rosicrucians basically are just a recruiting ground for Freemasonry.
They were the precursors to Freemasonry. What's very important about the Rosicrucian cult is that this bloodline is the leading family of this bloodline is the Stuarts in Scotland, who are descended from the Khazar inheritance from, you know, Charlemagne and Guillaume and Rabbi Mahir of southern France and the entire convolution of all these families. And so when Elizabeth dies childless, it's James who becomes James I of England, who is James Stuart. And this is when all of a sudden now you have this emergence of the Rosicrucian movement. For about 100 years, the occult was pretty heavily suppressed, right? The Templars had been disbanded.
Yeah, to go underground.
Right. So, you know, the occult was pretty much forced underground, except that now they decide they're going to announce themselves to the world. But what the point was, this was exposed by Francis Yates, who wrote what's called the Rosicrucian Enlightenment. She doesn't show the significance of the bloodline, but she shows the significance of a marriage. This is a marriage between the daughter of James I, his little daughter Elizabeth Stuart, and a Frederick, German prince, who is a descendant of the Guelph bloodline. So this is the two branches of the bloodlines that had bifurcated for 5, 400 or 500 years. Again, the Guelph bloodline is derived from the descendants of Rabbi Mahir, and more extensive intermarriage with the descendants of these Eastern European aristocracy that are descended from the Khazars. So this is a very important alliance, and this seems to have been the significance of the Rosicrucian movement, and it's featured in a book of theirs called The Chemical Wedding, chemical as being alchemical or hermetic, which brings us back to that Egyptian theme.
And, now, when they talk about reducing the world's population, I'm sure you're aware of this, the eugenics, yeah, down to 500,000. Who are the 500,000?
That's a good point. I never thought of it that way. presumably it would be their race.
But yet they want them to be servants. They want to enslave them.
Well, I guess the understanding is they want just enough
of their own kind that are compliant, that are going to go along and
serve. Or just enough of the other kind to fulfill their basic needs, presumably.
Right.
Because right now there's, in their minds, too many. Right. So the grandson of Elizabeth and this Frederick, actually what happens is that the Rosicrucians attempt to name this Frederick as King of Bohemia, and this is what incepts the 30 Years' War. It fails, their movement is totally routed, and most of them seek refuge in Britain, and it's out of the people involved in these Rosicrucian refugees who then create what's known as Freemasonry in Britain. And the grandson of Elizabeth and Frederick becomes George I, the first Hanoverian king of England. And this is how this family finally seizes the throne of England.
Interesting. So there is something to this idea of the lost tribes in Britain.
It seems to be the case. Mm. But I don't think it would be everybody in Britain. I think it's certain families in Britain.
Yeah, right.
Because even Robert de Bruce himself, he very boldly claimed his descendants from Scythia as well, too. I mean, I think there was a...
Well, I think we can safely say the Rothschilds are definitely not descendants.
Presumably not.
They were Bowers, right? They were German.
They were... I think Clifford Check has suggested that the Rothschilds are descended from Shabbatai Zevi. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because what's interesting about the Rosicrucian movement is that it was obviously influenced by the thought of Jacob Böhme, and he in turn was influenced by Luriana Kabbalah, and Luriana Kabbalah was really the great kind of a resurgence of Kabbalistic philosophy. That's why it's called a new Kabbalah. And out of this new Kabbalistic tradition came Shabbatai Zevi. And do you know the story about Shabbatai Zevi?
No, I don't.
Well, this is a guy who claimed to be the Messiah, the predicted Messiah, in 1666. A date used, obviously, for, its perceived meaning.
They had their false messiahs back then, too, huh?
Absolutely. This is no insignificant, claim. This is a guy who claimed to be the Messiah of the Jews. He took the Jewish world by storm.
Wow. Now, where was he from?
He was from, where is he from? From Turkey. Turkey? And, took the Jewish, like I said, apparently as many as 50% of the world's Jewish population. So you're talking about the Jewish population of Spain, of North Africa, of Europe, of all the Middle East, were taken up in this frenzy that the Messiah had come, and a lot of them had kind of, dedicated themselves to following him.
Wow.
But then what happens is that he's given an ultimatum by the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire, and he chooses to convert to Islam.
Hmm.
And so, of course, this is a major anticlimax, a major kerfuffle. But what does happen is that a number of his followers... Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm there.
Oh, sorry, I thought I lost you there for a second. The number of his followers do the same thing as he does, and they continue to this day to be existing as secret Jews existing in Turkey, known as the Domine sect, who continue to, who basically pretended to be Muslims but secretly practiced their Kabbalistic interpretation of Judaism. And they were basically the people who were responsible for the Young Turk Revolution in Turkey, and the according to Gershom Sholem Ataturk himself was a member of the Domine sect. But anyway, the important point is that 100 years later, the man who comes forward to revive this Shabbatean cult is Jacob Frank, and or who also known as the Zoharis, his followers known as Zoharis or Frankis. They completely reject Jewish tradition. They only take the Zohar as their sacred text. They believe that the coming of the Messiah ends any need to obey the law, so they believe that there's no such thing as morality anymore. So this is why their rituals are based on incest and orgies and human sacrifice and all kinds of other vices.
Now, the Zohar is considered a sub-book of the Kabbalah, right?
No, it's the book of the Kabbalah.
It's the what?
It's the book of the Kabbalah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
well, of course, the Talmud follows along with that tradition as well. There's some incredibly heinous statements.
There's a lot of early relationship with the, but then among the Frankists, it's the Zohar that's considered to be the primary text or the only text. And so, according to Rabbi Antleman, who's written To Eliminate the Opiate, the Rothschilds were Frankists, so that the Illuminati essentially was a Frankist organization. And so this explains the advent of this family, who now becomes the rulers of all these aristocratic families who have been intermarrying with each other for 1,000 years, and how they can just come in all of a sudden and begin to lead them.
So, and, I guess, could you go back pretty much to the beginning of this country's history? I mean, have pretty much all of our presidents? I mean, that's certainly the case now.
Yes.
You would argue that that's always been the case, huh?
Well, yeah. And it's pretty clear if you look at the bloodlines of, Washington, and usually the reason that they become presidents is because their ancestry is purer than their opponents.
Wow.
But most of the presidents are all affiliated with these.
So every election has been rigged, essentially.
I would think so. I mean, the American Revolution was a coup d'état, Illuminati coup d'état.
I had their hands in that, and the French Revolution, and the German Revolution.
Absolutely.
1848, on and on and on, Russian Revolution.
Absolutely. This was all part of their plot to bring about the perception of secular rule towards the eventual rule of occult ideas. But, the initial point is only to supplant Christianity.
I've had other guests on, and I've asked about this. And do you think Washington was a knowing, willful servant, or was he ignorant of it? Did he know exactly what was going on?
Well, it's hard to understand, because in numerous instances they say things which seems to suggest that they're against some of these ideas, but then
right.
In other ways they do seem to be willing participants. So, I can't speculate further than that,
Well, I mean, if you're going to make a scam stick, it would make sense that you would deny them everything that you're actually in favor of.
Yeah, that too.
So, I mean, yeah, who knows?
So, I mean, what's more important is they're just cogs in a bigger machine, really, right? So whether they're willing to or not, the plot went on,
Right, so it doesn't really matter,
anyway.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. My.
Yeah. So the Frankists is how we get to terrorism.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, because the successor to Jacob Frank was his nephew named Moses Dobruska, and Moses Dobruska creates what a secret society called the Asiatic Brethren. And the reason why they're referred to as Asiatic Brethren is because they're supposed to be in reference to the Mandaeans or the Sabians that were supposedly the original teachers of the Templars, and through whom they learned their secret doctrine, their Kabbalistic doctrine. because at the time during the Crusades, the Templars were in contact with were the Assassins, and the Assassins were a radical section of a heretical sect of Islam known as the Ismailis. And the Ismailis basically were a thoroughly Gnostic interpretation of Islam, but they managed to create a kind of a minor empire in Egypt known as the Fatimid Empire, and they also controlled Palestine at the time of the Crusades. So they were also to have created what's being referred to as a Grand Lodge in Egypt. And so this Grand Lodge...
Would you say there's still a faction of Islam today that's working?
Well, the Ismailis are very much still an active community.
And, but are they working, you know, toward this same goal in cahoots with the Zionists?
I think so.
Wow.
I think so. I mean, not, you know, again, the largest...
Well, there's several Arab countries that they're not targeting, obviously, that they're very much in favor of. Stick with us, folks. Short break. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of micropore filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
Okay, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani, talking with David Livingston about the Illuminati bloodlines. Unfortunately, we've only got a couple more minutes. Boy, we could just keep going on with this. There's so much more to cover. But is there anything more you wanted to say in the last couple minutes, kind of to sum it up? You know, also, I'd like you to mention again your website and your book, how people can get it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we had the opportunity to talk about more of the early history, because this is a harder thing to communicate. But if anybody wants to understand the rest, it's on my site. Basically, it comes from Jacob Frank and the Asiatic Brethren, who then become connected with Freemasons in Egypt, who purportedly are descendants from the assassins of the Crusades. And it's out of this connection that is produced a group called the Muslim Brotherhood. And this is a front of imposters that are used by intelligence agencies around the world to carry out false flag terror operations and falsely claimed in the name of Islam.
Well, you know, a lot of people would be upset to find this out, but it is a fact. Arafat was a member of the Bilderbergs. He was a major proponent of world government.
Oh, of course.
So, I mean, you know, their own leaders.
Tool. Yeah.
What's that?
It was a total tool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing is just completely monkey rigged.
And as most of the puppets, you know, installed in the Middle East have been.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I definitely want to have you on again, but we can, you know, bring it up, come up to date now and talk about how this is spread out, its tentacles around the globe, and how it's operating behind the scenes. This is more or less a background, but there's so much more. Maybe I can book you on again sometime.
Sure, that'd be a pleasure.
But once again, yeah, mention your website and the name of your book and how people can get it.
Yeah, my name of my book is Terrorism and the Illuminati, 3,000-Year History. You'll find it all at 3wsterrorism-illuminati.com.
All right. And, you know, when you look in the pages of the Kabbalah itself, you know, it mentions which now is the motto of the Mossad. You know, we wage war by means of deception.
Right.
But in there they have two rabbis, I guess, are discoursing, and one asks, you know, how shall we wage war? And the other one responds, we shall wage war by means of deception.
Right.
So, you know, that's the whole philosophy behind this.
That is entirely
thing.
It. It was a novel attempt. You looked at other empires have tried conquest through military means, overt military means, like Alexander and the Persians and the Romans and so
just
on and so forth. But this was a recognition that each of those attempts never succeeded in taking the whole world, and that the only way of taking the whole world would be by means of deception.
Yeah. So people don't know what's actually being done. And here
people
we are.
Don't know what's coming, and even use their own ignorance against them.
So, you know, things like 9/11, would you say it was more of a, you know, a Zionist operation? And, you know.
Well, Zionists and Illuminati, I mean, there's not really much difference there.
Yeah, so, same thing, sure.
You know, the people of Israel are being used like anybody else is.
Right. Right.
You know, is it to cause?
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say, do you think it was done more by the Israeli government, quote unquote, or do you think?
Well, I'm sure that they had a hand in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're, you know, it's a network.
Network. Yeah.
These numerous intelligence agencies from around the world, and the, you know, the advancement of the Zionist cause is very much at the core of what their agenda is.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question they had their operatives working here.
Right. I mean, the intent, of course, is to eventually presumably make Israel the headquarters of the New World Order. So.
Yeah. Oh, the Kabbalah even says that, too.
That's right, because when the Messiah comes, he's to rule the world, rule the Jews, and rule and assist them in ruling the world.
Right from there, yeah.
Headed from Jerusalem.
Yeah. All right. Thanks again for coming on, and we'll have you on again sometime, definitely.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Okay, folks, have a great day tomorrow. I got another great guest coming up. Keith Wilson, going to be talking about peak oil. We'll see you then.
With recent internet.